Turning to the Word of God in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 6. And we're going to read from the verse 9 of this chapter down to verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no light in it. Therefore, no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. They said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. Verse 30. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. And God shall step with his own divine seat of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. And, O God, this night, bless us as we preach thy word. To this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, the undertaking. For me, and the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, under verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Last Lord's Day, we were looking at this text, and we saw first of all, we were to stop at the crossways. Stand ye in the ways. Then notice secondly, and we want to come to this part tonight, we're to survey the many ways. See. And then thirdly, we are to seek the old ways. Ask for the old path. And then we are to search for the good way. Where is the good way? And then we're to step out on the right way. We're to walk therein. Let us now turn to the second part of this text. We are to survey the many ways. What does it say? Stand ye in the ways and see. Open your eyes. Scrutinize. Survey. Discover what is happening around you. Oh, that God's people would get their eyes open to the serious situation that is developing. Oh, that God's people would come to see the hopelessness and helplessness of any self-effort of ours to stem the flood of accursed iniquity which is rising higher and higher and gaining momentum every day in this land. Every day sees some new departure from God's truth. Every day sees some new crime committed, some new hideous sin manifested, some dark and hellish plan to destroy the souls of men and women and to destroy the souls of the youth of our country. And what has happened? God's people's eyes are shut. God's people's eyes are closed. There is no vision. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. When Jeremiah opened his eyes in his day, he discovered that there was an utter dislike and an utter despising and an utter disregarding of the Word of God. Look with me at verse 10 of this chapter. And he says here, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, I can well understand the word of God not delighting sinners. I can well understand the word of God not bringing a pleasure to sinners. I can well understand the word of God met with closed ears by sinners. But what about the saints of God? The most unread book today in the church is God's book. There is time to watch the television program. There's time to read the daily papers and other printed material. But the king of books, this book, doesn't even get pride or place among those who profess to be children of God. Tell me, my brother, and be honest. Tell me, my sister, and be honest, if that Bible of yours could speak. would have changed. That I'm handled with secret care, that large portions are read every day, markings are made, and time is taken over what I say in my verses and in my chapters. Is that what your Bible would say? Or would your Bible say, I'm hardly read? And when I am read, I'm skimmed over. And when I'm read, no heed is taken of what I say. My commandments are broken. My promises are despised. My invitations are shunned. O child of God, if you stand and see in the ways, you'll see that this day the word of God is disliked even by God's children. The word of God is despised even by the people of God. The word of God is disregarded even by the people of God. Secondly, please notice that Jeremiah saw that men went unchecked in their sinning. Was no brakes on here. It was a downgrade, and men unchecked went on with their sinning and their outrages and their evil practices and hellish intent against the purity of God and the truth of God and the person of God and the message of God. Stand in the ways. No true love for the Bible. No true love for the Word. No true reading of the Bible. No true obedience to the Bible. And then secondly, sin unchecked. Their very homes were a playground for sin. Their very synagogues and religious meetings were a playground for sin. They were pocks with the marks of the plague of sin. It would terrify you to see the darkness that's gathering over this land of ours. It would terrify you to listen to the conversation of the people when in every sentence nearly the blessed name of our Lord is blasphemed and God's mistaken in vain. And in public places, even the schools of our country, you would get your ears soiled to listen to the conversation of young children, and it's not their fault because they're brought up in a sinning community. And I dread for them and I pray for them that God will do something to deliver them. If I had been brought up in the same situation as they're brought up, I would have been bad and perhaps even worse. So don't condemn them. Get on your knees and pray for them. And then do something else. Put legs to your prayers and get them in to hear the word of God and the doctrine that will purify their hearts. And then, thirdly, the old prophet saw judgment was coming. The dark clouds gathering. A dark shadow over the land. The trumpets sounding of the prophets, sounding that God would arise and God would pour out his vials of terrible retribution and judgment upon the nations of the world. And we're teetering tonight on the very beginning of what could be an entire world conflict. Let us not minimize anything. Say they kept the person that they think is responsible. Do you think that will end this violence? As I read my Bible, I see two great forces in the end time, the force of Romanism, clearly portrayed in Daniel's prophecy and in the book of Revelation, and the force of Mohammedanism, vividly described in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. And these two forces today are rampant across the whole world, and we can see them. Judgment must come because there is wrath. Beware, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And God chastises nations because nations don't have an eternity. You have an eternity, and you will be personally judged in eternity for your sins. But the nations have no eternity, and they will be judged in time for the way they have violated God's precious truth and God's precious law. Judgment ahead! The only thing that will stay the judgment in this land is the prayers of the people of God. An arising tide of spiritual potency unloosed across this land. Where those that don't fear God suddenly begin to fear Him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has worked. When those that had no time for Christ suddenly are concerned about the things of Christ in eternity. Why? Because God has worked. And we need to pray this night, as we never prayed before in all our life, that now that the enemy has come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord might lift up a standard against him. Oh, my friend, this man, Jeremiah, had a broken heart. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You talk about sending the youth of America and the young men of our own United Kingdom out into the war zone. How many of them will return? How many of them will die in darkness without hope? How many of them are even acquainted with the facts and the doctrines of the gospel? Oh, in this serious time in which we live, the church altars in prayer should be packed with God's people crying before God to stop the awful problem that we have with an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The enemy has come in. Notice something else. When Jeremiah looked, he saw that these people didn't blush. Outrageous behavior. Satanic behavior. Acts carried out in public that would make your vomit and turn your stomach. Did these people blush? Were they concerned? Nay, they didn't blush. They were never even concerned. Unblushing criminality. Unblushing immorality. Unblushing adultery. Unblushing idolatry. It's all over the place. And it's seldom rebuked. And it's seldom even condemned. Men unblushing on their vileness and their outrages. And then Jeremiah saw something else. It was only a very tiny few who had any real concern. among the priests. Just a tiny few. Because the priests were polluted. Among the prophets, just a tiny few. Because the prophets were polluted as well. What does he say there? He says, the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Falsely. Falsehood, the standard of the day. The stamp of their behavior was falsehood. And only a very few people, only a tiny minority, were faithful to God and to God's truth. And then lastly, there was only one voice remained faithful among all the prophets. And that was Jeremiah himself. And for a time, Jeremiah kept quiet. And he says here, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. Verse 11. I am weary with holding in. Here was a man with a broken heart, with a soul bursting with passion for his country, with his head filled with tears and his eyes flowing as a fountain of water, and pleading day and night for the slain of the daughter of his people. And he has to burst forth. He cannot hold back the fury of God that burns in his heart forever. A great flame issued from his tongue and his heart. You can read about it in this book. And he poured out his heart. And there came a day when God said something remarkable to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you can now end your prayer meeting, for I am hearing your prayers no more. You can now stop your intercession. I will hear them no more. This people have gone too far, and there's only judgment for them. Oh, when I read those words about God stopping Jeremiah's praying, when God stops the prayer meeting, then it's judgment. And what judgment it is. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice what it says, seek the old ways. Ask for the old paths. God never changes. Truth never changes. The revelation of God's truth is the same in every generation. Man said to me one day, your God seems to be an antique lately. I said, no, my God is not an antique. My God is eternal. Antiquity has to do with time, but God is not a being of time. God is the being of eternity. In fact, the whole of eternity cannot even contain him. When men despise God, and they talk about old things, and they talk about these people are old fashioned. Well, let me tell you that within your heart, there is an old fashioned mechanism. It's called a conscience. Everyone born into this world has a conscience. That's the difference between the beast and the fish and the fowl of the air and man. They don't have a conscience, but man has a conscience. And that conscience either excuses you or accuses. You do wrong, it accuses you. If you do right, it excuses you. That's conscience. And that conscience is the oldest thing that man possesses. Conscience. It separates him from the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fishes of the sea. And God says, now I want you to listen to conscience and ask for the old path. Where will we find the old path? The test of conscience. And when something does not satisfy the highest demands of your conscience, then it must be wrong. And also remember, your conscience is a sinful conscience. It has been stained. It is not the perfect conscience it was. It was an infallible man. For the fall touched the conscience as well. As John Bunyan puts it so well in his book, The Holy War, when he called conscience in the city of man's soul, he called it Mr. Recorder. And he said at times Mr. Recorder was silent. His voice was never heard. And then suddenly, one day you would have heard the voice of Mr. Recorder, and what a trumpet blast he was shouting. Conscience. Sometimes your conscience is asleep. You never hear it. Sometimes you have put your conscience through sinning. You have seared it as with a hot iron. But the day will come when it will awaken. When Mr. Recorder will get his voice, and he will shout, and oh, how terrible will be the trembling of your heart when an awakened conscience, awakened by the power of God, starts to redo his work. His work of either excusing or excusing sinful men. What is the old paths? The old paths are the way of proper peace, with a conscience satisfied, with a mind at rest, and with a heart full of joy. To walk any other way will bring misery, confusion, fear, despair, disappointment, and disillusionment. But if you come to this old path and walk in it, your conscience will be satisfied. And my conscience accuses me. I point it to the blood of the Lamb. And I simply say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. The only thing that can silence conscience is the cross work of Christ and his agony for sinners in the blood shedding of the accursed tree. When conscience comes and disturbs the peace of my mind, I listen to what the Bible says of God. And God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts of fully rest, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. And when conscience disturbs me and would take the joy from my heart, I look away from inside and I look up to heaven, and my Savior is at God's right hand, and praise God, he's praying for me. He's making intercession for me now at the throne. Before I rose this morning to seek my God and to pray, my Savior has already prayed for me. His eye never closes. His lips never stop. He's praying for his people. And I'm glad tonight that God answers every prayer that Jesus offers. He said, I know, Father, thou hearest me. And to be heard is to be answered. And God hears the prayers of Jesus. The old paths are the paths that bring peace and blessing to the heart. Search for the good way. Where will we find the good way? We'll find the good way in this book. Inquire at the right
place for the good way, and here's the place to find the good way, in the book of God. Touch this book anywhere, and you'll touch Christ somewhere, because this book is Christ from beginning to end. The portraits of Jesus are painted on every page of the book. Oh, for eyes to see our Lord, and for hearts to recognize Him in His blessed word. This is the good way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. And finally, He says, step out on the good way. And we need to step out tonight on this good way that the Lord has shown us. But in every meeting, there will be those who will reject the Word of God. Say no to the pleading Spirit. Turn their back on the cross. Trample on the Son of God. Treat the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. And at the end of the chapter, this sixth chapter of Jeremiah, we read these words: reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. I wonder, is that what will be written on your heart tonight? Reprobate silver shall men call them, because they have rejected the Word of God. Dear sinner friend, I would urge you tonight to press into the kingdom of God. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf in time. Fleeting days are telling fast. The die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you'll find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we pray that you would apply thy good word to our hearts. And, O God, may there be the searching for the good way, the asking for the old way, the walking in the right way. And, O God, may we not be reprobate silver whom the Lord has rejected, but refined silver that the Lord has purified for His own use. O God, do a saving work. Stay the hand of judgment. In wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.